I'm Laura Bowling. I'm a professor in the agronomy department at Purdue, and I specialize in agricultural water management.
To start off, tell me a little bit about the report that was released on Tuesday.
The report that we released was an assessment of potential climate change impacts to agricultural production in Indiana, and it is designed to help to quantify the potential risks that producers are facing through the end of the next century so that they can help to prepare for the changes in management that will help them to adapt to these changes. This is really the first of its kind. There was an earlier report back in, I think it was 2007, where the Purdue Climate Change Research Center was asked by Senator Lugar's office at the time to provide an assessment of how climate change might impact Indiana. He needed background information. He was trying to make a decision on a cap and trade bill at the time, I think. And that was a very rushed report. Faculty from across campus pulled together the research that they had that was relevant to Indiana to come up with this assessment in about 3 weeks. And that report has been very useful over the years, and many people have used it. And so a couple of years ago, the new director of the Climate Change Research Center, Jeff Jukes, decided that it was time to do a more targeted, comprehensive assessment because of the success of that report. And so he launched this much larger effort to look across multiple sectors and really prepare an assessment of impacts that are Indiana-specific.
Tell me some of the results or the findings from the study.
This report focused on agricultural production. We were looking across different ag sectors. Certainly corn and soybean, our row crop production is very important to Indiana, and that's a very visible part of our landscape. But livestock and poultry and specialty crops, like fruits and vegetables, are also very important to Indiana agriculture. And so we have different key results depending on what sector we're looking at. Certainly looking at our corn and soybean production, we're certainly looking at projected yield losses by mid-century relative to our historic values over the last 30 years, up to 16 to 20% yield decline for contemporary corn varieties, somewhat less of a decline projected for soybean. There, the story is really about heat stress affecting the crop growth and increasing water stress by the end of the growing season. So managing heat and water, managing soils to help with those maintain yields is our key story there. We have shifts in water available, changing gears a little bit, but overall, we're expecting an increase in annual precipitation in the state. So as a whole, the state is getting wetter, but unfortunately, that rain doesn't come when we most need it. We're looking at more water in the winter and spring, less in the summer and fall. And so a lot of that infield management is about how do we better manage for excess water conditions in the spring, maintaining field access, protecting crops from flooding if they're planted before a dramatic wet spell, and then maintaining moisture levels into the later in the growing season.
Do you think this is something that farmers are aware of, and kind of what will they need to do to adjust, do you think?
I think to a large extent this is something that farmers are aware of. They might not think of it as that they're experiencing climate change, but people who spend time in the field know that they are seeing conditions that are different than what their fathers and their grandfathers experienced. In addition, this seasonality that I was describing with too much moisture in the spring and not enough later in the growing season, that's not really new to Indiana. We experience that even in typical years with excess water in the spring and a little bit dry later in the growing season. What we're talking about is that contrast is likely to be more extreme in the future, and that the really extreme years are likely to happen more frequently. And so rather than trying to manage for the good years and survive the bad years, we really need to look at managing for those years with extremes, both with too much water and too little water.
When doing this report and finding these things, were there any surprises?
Well, for me, I'm in an agronomy department, and so I hear about corn and soybeans fairly frequently, but I hadn't spent as much time thinking about the perennial crops in our landscape and thinking about livestock production. And so to me, those were the surprises. And I think the interesting thing about the perennial crops is that winter conditions are very important. And so we often focus on what are the growing season changes? Is it going to be too hot in the summer? Is there enough water? But for perennial crops, and that can include forages like alfalfa, it can include wheat, but then it can also include fruit crops like apples or peaches or blueberries. Many of those require cool conditions over the winter. They go into dormancy following the first chilling frost in the fall, so when temperatures drop below about 25 degrees Fahrenheit, and then they need to accumulate chilling hours, which are temperatures that are not freezing but are cold, before they emerge from dormancy in the spring. And because our winters are getting warmer, they can, for the near future, going up to mid-century, we're actually accumulating those chilling hours faster because there's more time in the winter when temperatures are in that cool range as opposed to freezing. This means that the perennial crops might emerge from dormancy earlier in the spring. And the risk there is that if they start to bud in February, then the risk of freeze hasn't completely passed. And so we have a much greater risk that we could completely lose our fruit crop because the trees are budding and then there's an extreme freeze that kills all of those. Two topics that we haven't really talked about yet. One is livestock production. There the story really is one of heat stress, and that our projections are very clearly showing a large increase in the number of days per year that animals are likely to be uncomfortable. In generally, we consider above 86 degrees Fahrenheit to be the start of stress in animals. It's certainly going to depend on the specific animal and species. In addition to the number of days per year increasing, the amount of time, each time temperature goes above 86, it's likely to stay above that threshold longer. So whereas currently animals might need to survive sort of 3 days where it's hot and then temperatures will cool down and they can recover, by mid-century, that's going to be about 6 days per year, or 6 days on average when temperatures are high. So they just need to make it a little bit longer before they cool down. And that means that they're not going to be eating as much when they're hot, and that can affect, you know, milk production and reproduction and everything.
And how will producers have to react kind of to that? How can they help their livestock through that?
Really, there we're looking a lot at technology and infrastructure that can help keep the animals cool. So one specific example that is related to research going on here at Purdue is that we have researchers in our agricultural and biological engineering and animal sciences departments that have worked on cooling pads for hogs, so that these are pads that would be in their enclosures that can help to keep the animals cooler. Improved ventilation for confined operations can help to keep confined animals cool. If we're looking at pasture-based animals, putting up shade structures and things like that so that they have shelter from extreme environmental conditions. Unfortunately, it does mean some investment in infrastructure, and in many cases, increased energy costs as well in order to sustain that cooling environment. For this report, we really focused on in-field changes, and sort of downstream environmental impacts and ecosystem impacts are covered in other reports. But we did take a look at our soil resources and our water resources and how they might be affected, particularly in the agricultural context. And soil health is a concept that has resonated quite a bit with Indiana farmers. And, you know, through the efforts of the NRCS, a lot of producers are looking at how they can build their organic matter, maintain good soil structure to help increase water holding capacity in the field, help increase infiltration of water into the soil. And we think that that is a very important attitude to continue. But we also recognize that it is likely to be harder to build organic matter in the future. When soils are warmer, the carbon can decompose faster, and so it's likely to lose organic matter more quickly. And if we have a decrease in crop yields, that can also mean less biomass, less organic matter being put back into the soil because there's less residue. And that's where things like increasing the use of cover crops that can put some plant residue back into the soil can be very important for helping to maintain that soil health.